Hello and Merry Christmas from F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I am joined for this commentary track for Reindeer Games by Doug.
Ho, ho, holy cow!
And JB.
I hate this movie.
It is December 2011, and we thought, what better gift to the fans of F This Movie for Christmas than a commentary track for Reindeer Games from 2000, directed by John Frankenheimer.
Look at the snow. Is that in 3D?
I think that's cocaine, actually.
All right, I'm going to say something right off the bat here, because we're into this movie. I kind of like these opening shots, and I know this is a bad movie, and we're going to be goofing on it for the next 104 minutes, but I kind of like these opening shots just because there's a hint of, well, what happened to these Santas?
That Santa is smoking!
How did we get to this place?
Wait, Santas?
Yeah,
plural?
That's what I'm saying. There's
that's
all these different
how it gets to all the chimneys in the world.
Maybe it's because I've been watching Breaking Bad a lot lately. But when I first saw this montage, I immediately assumed this is the end. And then this little title here told me that I was correct.
Yeah, right. Well, of course. That's a pretty well-worn convention for sort of a film noir to start at the end. And look. Here's how I got here.
And now we have our first example of, the cliche prison, and two, the too much narration.
There's a ton of narration, which was added after the fact. This was a movie that was changed a lot during the test screening process, as is often the way with dimension movies. They tend to hack up their movies. And still nobody went to see it. It came out in February. You would think they put it out at Christmas time, but no, they waited a couple months.
I didn't hear the last scene. Did anyone yell, fresh meat, fresh meat? That's,
I would think that Ben Affleck would be very popular in prison.
He's a handsome man. And this movie is a great example of, you know, in the post sort of Goodwill Hunting world, how his career path and Matt Damon's career path went very different ways. And Ben Affleck kind of did himself in with crappy movies like this, whereas Matt Damon took some more respectable
It is really
roles.
Odd, because he did do a lot of populist, not yeah, popular, yeah, yeah. Right, but populist right. type stuff that was right. all kind of trashy, and Matt Damon did like The Horse Whisperer. And
it seems sort of ironic that one of them was obviously going for popularity and one right. of them was not, and yet they both achieved what right. the other one had hoped to.
And now Ben Affleck has sort of redeemed himself, especially.
They both kind of come back to the middle.
As
you know?
A director, right. Because Matt Damon still makes the Adjustment Bureau, but Ben Affleck directs The Town. So,
right.
you know.
Is this pre or post Caps on Ben Affleck?
This is post, because okay. the Caps came for Armageddon 2 years prior.
Michael Bay is like, I like you as an actor, I hate your teeth.
You get some really good cap shots in this movie, especially the very end. By the way, thanks for listening to this Reindeer Games commentary track. You can find our website at fthismovie.blogspot.com. We've done a commentary track before for a sleepaway camp last October as part of Scary Movie Month. I won't go too much into F This Movie nonsense, but just go to our website. You can find us there.
Right now, we're in prison.
We're going to be spoiling Reindeer Games.
And if by you prison, I mean we're watching Reindeer Games.
If you haven't seen this before, watch the movie first and then listen to our commentary track, because there's so many things. This movie takes so many twists.
Time out. Time. You can't make people watch this thing twice.
I'm going to. And they'll love it, because
Patrick is the Hitler of F This Movie. You can watch this movie twice!
This movie takes a lot of twists, and we have to spoil them, because it's great to watch the movie a second time, because it makes zero sense. I mean, I'm not saying it makes a ton of sense the first time, but once you know sort of what the ending is, going through all this stuff makes no sense whatsoever.
If Patrick's the Hitler, what are you, sir?
I would be Dr. Goebbels, and that would make you Heinrich Himmler.
This guy right here.
I prefer to be Mussolini, and that way the trains run on time.
You're not allowed to pick the character.
Damn it!
This guy Alamo, I forget his name. He is a defensive tackle for the Redskins.
They use his face a lot, and for the brief time he's in the film, and of course he's got this ludicrous, clever nickname, which like almost everyone in the film has. In fact, the villain seems to have many names
Monster?
That people use interchangeably.
Gabriel,
Merlin,
Monster.
Pug, Jumpy.
Now, who is this actress right here?
That would be Charlize Theron.
Okay, that is not Charlize Theron, because I have seen the movie Monster, and I know what Charlize Theron looks like, and that is not her.
And you, sir, are no Charlize
Quiet, guys,
Theron.
I'm masturbating.
I actually thought that, as is the case in many Hollywood films, casting her was a mistake. Because she is so beautiful,
yeah.
you know something's up.
Well, there's a great scene. There's a great scene when her and Ben Affleck first sit down together. They both are like, "I was afraid you would get one look at me and walk away." Like, you're Charlize Theron and Ben Affleck. What are you talking about?
And they try to dowdy her up, but it's to no avail.
There is so much dialogue in the first like 15 minutes of this movie. The whole first 15 minutes is just
crunches and dialogue.
Just versions of like, "I got a girl. She's waiting for me. I love her. Here are some of her letters. 2 more days, man. Then we're getting out. I want to go home. I got a girl waiting for me. You should have a girl." That's all it is, over and over
and hot chocolate
again.
And pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
I hope nothing bad happens to the other guy.
I'm assuming it won't. That is James Frayne, by the way, playing Nick.
He's Irish, right?
I thought he was British.
What's the difference?
I'm not sure. His career did not take off as a result of Reindeer Games.
Who won an Oscar first, Charlize Theron or Halle Berry?
Oh, I want to say Halle Berry.
Okay.
But I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Charlize Theron would be the first true African to win an Oscar for Best Actress.
She's like African.
South African.
Like diplomatic immunity.
They made fun of that when she hosted SNL. There was a funny sketch about her actually being...
Jeez, John, pull the curtain back. All my jokes are stolen from SNL.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Back to the film.
Yeah.
If you've taken Patrick's...
I am not going back to the film.
I don't blame you. If you've taken Patrick's advice and you've watched this film before, and now you're watching this prison scene again, the ludicrousness and the implausibility of the ending starts to hit upon you, because imagine the cleverness of this. I'm not going to give it away.
No, go ahead. Like I said, we're spoiling.
Imagine the cleverness of the cellmate, to borrow Doug's favorite adjective, the Byzantine quality of this plot
And ultimately, for what? I mean, it's like they want to rob a casino, but they need to have two different guys do it for them.
That's what he says at the end. That's how clever I am. I get other people
it makes
to
no
do
sense
my
to
robbery.
Hold on. We're about to have our mind blown by Nick here. We're out of here in 2 days. Ready? Here comes... Oh, Mystery Cream Fuck is a horrible line. And then... Who's in prison now?
Boom!
There's a black guy picking his nose in the background.
And there's Alamo.
Here's Alamo of the Redskins.
And I thought... This almost came across as comedy, that if anyone in prison talked to someone like this, I mean, he would immediately get his ass kicked. It was just weird. It was like all of a sudden Ben Affleck was like in sixth grade. And now, if you'd like to know why Isaac Hayes was cast as Chef in South Park, you're about to see why.
What a bizarre cameo.
Yeah. Isaac, we really respect your work. We'd like you to be the convict who finds the cockroach in the Jell-O.
And
only you can't say Jell-O because we'll get sued. So everyone in prison is saying gelatin.
There's monsters in the gelatin. By the way, they're still talking about 2 more days. I can't wait to get out. I got a girl waiting for me.
Maybe it's because I've seen so many movies. But when the cellmate starts talking about 2 more days, the first thing I thought was he's dead.
Well, yeah. Here's the cockroach appearing, the monsters in the gelatin. But here's this fascinating conceit where, if everyone in the prison, it's not just Isaac Hayes that finds a cockroach, right? It's everyone. They all have roaches in the Jell-O, but they all find them at the same time, which means
in the gelatin.
No one started with the Jell-O. Everyone ate their entree and then
who's the black private dick who finds a cockroach in all his desserts?
Isaac Hayes!
Can you dig it?
Why would you eat it first, though? Because you know at the end of your meal, you'll still have room for it.
This actually, this helped Isaac Hayes become a level 10 Thetan. But then he died.
He didn't die.
He's still, by the way, the cellmate is still shouting, "Rudy, no, 2 more days. 2 days, man. Like, he's still saying, "Let's stay out of this food fight. 2 days.
Uh-oh, Alamo is
there's that.
And again, knowing the ending at one point before we got to that last scene, I was like, so wait, Nick orchestrated an entire food fight? Did he put the monsters in the gelatin?
No, he explains.
He does say.
I can't hear the music right now, but I'm assuming it's the Benny Hill theme with this food fight.
By the way, two different composers worked on this movie. Jerry Goldsmith wrote a score that John Frankenheimer threw out, and now the music is by Alan Silvestri, who did the score for Back to the Future. The music is very at odds with the tone of the movie.
And I was going to say, I've long held the belief that if the score is
medic!
Working,
medic!
You don't notice it. But when I watched this movie for the first time, I thought the score was really intrusive.
It's crazy, like syrupy at points. It really calls attention like, to what? So this is a happy movie? By the way, I should say, I said this before we started recording the commentary. This is a bad movie, right? I watch this movie most Christmases. This is a bad movie that I really like watching. So this is up there with, like, Die Hard for me in terms of... Here's a great scene. This is a scene that I love because there was just a huge fight. This huge guy tried to kill him. His best friend was murdered in front of him. And still we don't think prison sucks enough, so we have to have the guard mock him. Like, oh man, prison is the worst.
Oh, I forgot. It's Christmas.
Hey, Christmas!
Also, you can do what we're doing. We have the closed captioning on, and the closed captioning here really serves to show how bad the dialogue is.
Well, let's talk about the dialogue.
Real quick, would you say that his friend, all he wants for Christmas is the two stab wounds to heal? Is that what you say?
Still thinking about it.
Why is she dressed as a cat? There's a weird Catwoman picture
with just her head cut out. So the screenplay is by Aaron Kruger, who in the late 90s and early 2000s was like sort of the new golden boy for Hollywood, and yet Scream 3, Scream 4, Transformers 2 and 3, The Ring. He has never written anything even remotely good.
Well, ever. How could you if you spell your first name E-H-R-E-N?
He is a horrible screenwriter, and I think this was one of the movies that people started to like figure out. Oh, okay.
I disagree. Well, this guy's not figure very out good. Because if nothing else, they've given him more work.
Yeah, that's
oh,
true.
I did want to comment on this. This is the one credit I will give the film.
I think I wanted to make the same point.
That in every other movie, you get out of prison, yes, it's just you. But here, they all...
A lot of people get out.
And you're like, well, yeah, that is the way they would do it. That makes more sense to do it that way. Hey, good job.
I thought the exact same thing. It's always one guy standing in front of the prison.
Waiting for the ride.
Right.
But, with his big cell phone.
But
with,
for every moment like Michael this, Douglas. There's a moment missing where the Blues Brothers are playing Jailhouse Rock. And that's how I think of prison. I think prison might be kind of fun. Dancing on tables.
Okay, and what we have
Monsters
here...
in the gelatin, Doug. Monsters in the gelatin.
In the gelatin.
What we have here is non-existent suspense, if I could point this out. Ben Affleck's going to get on the bus. And of course, if you've ever seen a movie... You know that if the bus pulls away completely, the movie's over. So, gee, you think he's going to get off that bus? As my wife is fond of saying, you think they'll stop that
train?
But
see, we don't know that he's really torn about the decision until he's like, don't you do it, Rudy, don't you do it. But then he decides.
This narration right here, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. And now we need to remember that it's Nick's girlfriend, so we have Nick's voiceover from Beyond the Grave saying... Yeah, here it is. Don't you do it, Rudy. Don't you fucking do it. By the way, we are watching the theatrical cut of Reindeer Games.
Because we can only put 104 minutes
towards
this.
Which runs 104 minutes. A few years after the movie came out on DVD, they released the director's cut.
A posthumous director's cut?
I think he was still alive when it came out because he recorded a commentary for it. It runs about 20 minutes longer. It's not significantly different. It's mostly like... added bits of dialogue and character stuff. But
that's what they need more of.
But the cover box of the DVD has a quote from Frankenheimer saying, like, this is the movie I wanted to make. Just, like, more scenes of people talking.
I can't imagine this movie being 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
This is the last movie Frankenheimer made.
Yes.
Yes.
He was 72. I think this came out in 2000. He died in 2002 at 72.
Yeah.
And he made, like, a TV thing. But this is it. This is, like, his...
And I always had a lot of respect for him because he made The Manchurian Candidate, the original version, and Seconds, a very obscure film that I'm a big fan of. But looking at IMDb at his other credits, this guy was
it's all over the place too.
Supreme. He made Prophecy, one of the worst horror films in the 70s, and on and on and on.
He has a reputation for being sort of a great director, but he basically made two good movies. I kind of like Ronin. So I guess I'd count that as three, but even people in the movie, you know, Charlize Theron, some years after the fact, named this as the worst movie in her filmography, which I take issue with, by the way, because I'm positive she's made worse movies than Reindeer Games.
I'm going to pull
and
up.
And they all rhyme with Aeon Flux. But she said, I did it just to work with John Frankenheimer. So there you go. Here's the scene where they're like, oh, I was afraid you'd take one look at me and turn and run the other way, because I'm Ben Affleck, handsome man.
One of my favorite examples of that is the movie Frankie and Johnny, which is based on a Broadway play called Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune. and we're supposed to believe that Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer
right.
are substandard human species.
Because on stage, wasn't it Kathy Bates and F. Murray Abraham?
Yes.
Because, two people you wouldn't want to fuck?
Because that's right. what the movie's about right. these two people finding each other. But right. the minute they glam it up, it's right. like,
well, but
no.
Michelle Pfeiffer, you know, they made her look kind of haggard. No, I'm no. But impossible. They tried. Like, look, she's in a waitress uniform. Ew.
Oh, and I have to give the film another little credit. See, that here, I was thinking...
The armor is chipping away, and you are falling in love with Mary
Sue. No, it's not going to happen.
Like, I'll follow that up. There's at least one great scene in this movie. I'll point it out when it comes up.
Does it involve a swimming pool?
Well, that's the one great scene I'm referring to.
Because of the twist, right? Because of the twist where you find out she's in on it?
The twist that you saw coming a half an hour ago, but...
There's dialogue in that scene?
Yeah, Sinise.
By the way, we're watching a scene right now. Okay, we're watching Reindeer Games. Ha ha ha, we're making fun of it. These are two Oscar winners. We're watching a scene with two Oscar winners. Academy Award winner Ben Affleck, Academy Award winner Charlize Theron.
Yeah, but Affleck won for a screenplay.
Okay.
That's still in question about how much of it he wrote.
What were you going to give the movie
yeah,
credit
sorry.
For? Yeah.
That
being awesome.
I'm sitting here watching the film. And I'm thinking, so in 5 years, he never described himself in any of his letters. And the only lip service they pay to that is, oh, there you go, hot and heavy. The only lip service they pay to that is, I thought you had curly hair.
Yeah.
It's curly when it's long. And then, of course, when we get to the end of the movie, we find out why that's not
right.
a plot point at all. So I will give them credit for that. But as I was watching it, I was like, this stretches the bounds of
doesn't
plausibility.
Doesn't he say, it's short and curly? I think he's referring to different kinds of hair.
They're playing Christmas music while they make love.
Let it snow. Snow is white.
Wait a minute. Doug,
do you remember I was telling you how babies were made? This is what
is this a movie baby?
This
though?
Is how it is.
Wait,
this
isn't
is
this
happens.
Where he tries to get down her chimney?
When two people love each other,
yes,
they take
very
off
much.
Their clothes. Yeah.
That was a quick shot.
Yeah,
and I mean that. I'm talking about myself.
And the fire is slowly dying, and by fire, I mean my erection.
I believe in the director's cut that.
Do you know how dirty
sex
that
scene is a little longer?
That motel room floor must be. Do you know how dirty? I take issue with the.
Do you know how dirty Charlize Theron's vagina must be? She's fucking three different guys just to rob a casino.
That casino though is it's Indian casino, right?
And by the way, like I don't hate the idea. Before you get into all the stupid twists, like I don't hate the idea of he pretends to be a different guy to sleep with this girl or whatever, and gets caught up in this thing. Like, that's a movie. That's fine, you know?
And I actually like heist movies.
Right.
I like them a lot.
Right.
But this...
And the heist with the Santas. That's something.
What about the movie Heist?
I'm saying that I like the movie Heist.
What about the movie Tower Heist?
Less so.
I have a comment
and I was so ready to make a joke about this, which is just something about Inside, but then she beats me to it because Aaron Kruger is a shitty writer. As shitty a writer as I am, a joke teller.
I have a comment to make about Ben Affleck.
All right.
This is going to come out all wrong because it's the first time I've vocalized it. But I thought about this a lot, especially I watched the trailer. And if nothing else, and I should know something about trailers. Yeah. I watch them and you watch
with
them
Doug.
With me.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't see trailers these days are mini art forms. I mean, and in a lot of ways, the trailers are better than movies if you watch any trailer.
Like Battle Los Angeles.
Battle Los Angeles is a perfect example. The teaser for that movie features some obscure Icelandic music. It's really effective, and it makes you like, wow, I really want to see this movie. And then actually the long-form trailer came out, and it's not that great. The trailers back in the 90s and early 2000s even, you think 2000 is not that far away or, you know, long ago. And it really is. It's almost 12 years ago, or probably 13 years, when they made this movie. And the trailer for the movie is very much the old joke, like, in a world where,
right.
you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's this horrible narration with the one guy that did voiceover for every trailer. And I guess my comment is this. I always thought of Ben Affleck as a young guy, and as almost a contemporary, like, I'm almost the same age as Ben Affleck. And obviously, it just shows the march of time, and we're all older, obviously.
The march of time.
We're all older, and it's 2012, and blah, or almost 2012, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, don't spoil it, though.
Watching the trailer, it felt so dated, and I know that seems like such a weird thing, because the movie doesn't feel as dated as the trailer does, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Because it's such a like a time capsule of like, well, this is how trailers were done also in the early 90s. And I'm like, Ben Affleck is not that old, but the trailer makes it seem like I'm watching a Paul Newman movie or something. It's so ancient. And I just think to myself, well, I guess Ben Affleck's been around in the industry for like longer in his life than he has not been a movie star. He's been right. a movie star for longer than he has not been.
Right.
Which is crazy to me because he's always been or perceived like he was always kind of the outsider. Like I'm a new guy from
right.
Boston
right.
and I'm like friends with Kevin Smith and, you know, do cameos right. in movies and stuff. And not
big
like,
mistake.
Yeah, you don't have to flush it down the toilet.
So sorry, that's not a really good point, but I was struck by that.
And the movie comes from a time where, like, Miramax reigned supreme, and Ben Affleck was their boy, that's and so true, he was yeah. in a bunch of their movies.
But it just was like...
Affleck, you the bomb and phantoms, is what I'm saying.
It's just amazing, because he is, like, now, like, no, you are the standard. And right. it was at a time when it's like, oh, who's this young upstart in Reindeer Games?
You know? Playing Rudy.
Right.
This is the obligatory shopping scene, which will be his final moment of happiness. I have to say that when I originally saw him flush the driver's license down the toilet, I thought they specifically chose that so that later it would be rescued from a pipe or from some.
Oh, really?
That it will. It
You're giving
stuck,
Aaron Kruger
it
too much credit.
Right inside
quit
the
trying
toilet
to outthink Reindeer Games.
Well, like the little slip of paper that they find inside
the
Psycho
house always wins, JB.
It didn't get washed all the way down.
Oh, Reindeer Games.
Just this is the best holidays, Christmas. Nick.
This is
then
the best.
I'll tell the truth. I'm going to give her the truth for Christmas.
He's constantly,
and by the truth, I mean the chimney.
He's constantly talking to himself, but then also there's voiceover narration, so we're never left
Don't
wondering.
Don't do it, Rudy. Don't do it. I told myself I shouldn't do it.
We're never left wondering what Ben Affleck is thinking,
so
which
he,
I like.
He talks to himself. There's voiceover narration, and... again,
and then Morgan Freeman narrates the narration.
You know, when I first met Nick, I knew he was destined for greater
Rudy
things.
Rudy shouldn't have flushed away his driver's license.
That was mistake number one. Later, we would laugh about it. Oh, I just revealed he makes it till the end.
Now we're singing Christmas carols because it's Reindeer Games, everyone. Reindeer Games.
I actually thought that Parumpa Pum Pum was his euphemism for her vagina.
In Germany, I believe this movie is called Wild Christmas, which I think is a better name. And in some countries, it's just called Deception,
okay,
which gives away too much.
The
because
referee
then we know
is over.
There's a deception.
And...
we throw one more Oscar
hey,
nominee.
That Franklin yeah. stove. That
we throw an Oscar nominee into the mix, Gary Sinise. By the way, this movie has an impressive cast, I will say. Everybody is somebody, you know?
Well, don't you think, honestly, the Frankenheimer name, the brand, it's
it
like
was.
It's like, no, we'll take this shit
well, it's
script.
Like, it's like how everyone will work and for much less than their standard fee for Woody Allen. That
Woody Allen should have made Reindeer Games.
Is that what you're saying?
I would like to see Woody Allen. Now, here's...
Jesus.
Here's one of my biggest problems with the movie.
There you go. Reindeer Games.
Gary Sinise is a wonderful actor. He's an accomplished actor. But I would argue... he's not a good villain. He comes across as elfin and strange and a little bit effeminate.
He feels miscast in the movie.
Incredibly miscast. And my wife had this theory that the reason why they give him these three really, honestly, crazy thug accomplices is to convince us
that
he's
scary.
Right.
Well, they call him Monster also.
And
you wouldn't
Gabriel.
Call a nice guy Monster.
And Gabriel to hit you
well,
over the head
call
with
him
that
Jesus.
Enormous
Here's another thing about Reindeer Games I like. You get a lot of shots like this where everything is in focus. And I thought it was like a De Palma thing where it looks like a split focus
yeah.
kind of a thing. It's not. He shot the movie in Super 35, and that's the effect you get, that everything stays in focus. The part here, I know a lot about Reindeer Games. The part the part that Donald Logue is playing was originally Vin Diesel. And there are two conflicting accounts. Vin Diesel claims that he quit the movie to go do The Fast and the Furious. The other story is that Frankenheimer
fired him. Yeah.
And he's kind of famous for doing that. He shit-canned the score. He fired Vin Diesel. He directed, which I forgot, The Island of Dr. Moreau, where he was constantly firing and replacing actors.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst movies ever made. So I wish Vin Diesel would have been in the movie.
And it's
I think it would have sounded a little something like this, Doug.
Oh, what?
I just wanted you to bust out of Vin Diesel.
I totally have wiped Vin Diesel from my mind.
It's okay.
I'm okay.
You're in Reindeer Games mode?
I did have a question. I am. I'm totally. Yeah. I'm actually watching this scene, which is probably bad for the commentary. Donald Logue is not a thug. I don't consider him. He was the Dow of Steve. He's not.
Yeah.
And clearly,
Danny Trejo is like, yeah. He's
to give credit where credit is due, I think he finds a place for himself where he's obviously the dope. the guy who's left looking things over, that he's not given as much violence to do as
right.
Clarence Williams or Danny Trejo.
But he's also usually the one who's saying the right thing in the movie. He's the one saying, I don't think it's the guy. He was in the back of the truck telling her he wasn't. Why would he say that when we weren't around? So he's the brains, really.
Get down her chimney.
This is Jesus. What does he mean when he says get down her chimney?
Throughout the film, there's these little lines from like Christmas songs, and it gets really obnoxious after a while.
For the record, I think also on the Fast Five podcast, you tried to make me do a Vin Diesel line, and I also shit the bed.
I just thought
I shit
at least
the
like
bed.
Some Iron Giant or something.
I got here's
all right, here it is. Here it is.
Superman.
There it is.
That's from
Iron
Giant.
What he would have sounded like if he was.
Give Gabriel some respect for Christmas. That's the only present he wants.
Frankenheimer does overuse the everything in focus a little bit in this movie.
He's like, my name is Riddick, and this is my chronicle.
There's Clarence Williams III, Link from the Mod Squad.
And I have to say, he's so convincing as someone really disturbingly batshit crazy that I want the whole movie to be about him.
Yes.
I'm like, this would be much better if he was the trucker that Charlize Theron talked into all this.
Is this scene take place in Batman's villains cave? Because everything's crickets.
Yeah.
Riddle me this, Ben Affleck. The other thing I thought, and you see this in movies, and a famous example was the TV show.
Oh, there's the dead mall rat. Yeah, you're dead mall rat.
That could be a game or something we do in the future.
Don't play no reindeer games with me.
That this was true in a lot of TV shows like Friends, that they check into this shitty hotel, and the room is impossibly large and has a chair and a couch. It's like a suite.
Your point is valid, but I will tolerate zero Friends bashing on this commentary.
I wanted to point this out. This is such an interesting detail and speaks to my misspent youth. Donald Logue there is reading a copy of Chic, which was briefly popular during the time this film was made. It was Hustler magazine's attempt to go upscale.
Oh. It sounds upscale because it's French.
Chic.
I would have said chick.
But they spelled S-H-I-E-K.
Right? And you could just see the editors it's behind them.
Arab porn.
This is very classy. We limit the double penetration.
I was trying to wrap my head around like the scheme that Charlize Theron has going, and I can't even. She has to pretend to be somebody with Gary Sinise, and then pretend to be somebody else with Ben Affleck,
and then
the friend has to be pretending one thing in prison with Ben Affleck. I don't understand it. By the way, here's the best line of dialogue in the movie, and the only good thing Aaron Kruger has ever written is Danny Trejo's little Christmas 2 speech here.
And I found it interesting because when I revisited Santa Claus the movie this week.
Not to be confused with Santa Claus the guy.
Yes. Santa Claus the movie.
The Claus.
For my column this week. It turns out that's one of John Lithgow's crazy schemes in Santa Claus the
Christmas
movie.
Christmas 2?
He wants to do a Christmas 2 in June.
Aaron Kruger ripping off Santa Claus the movie is nothing sacred, Aaron Kruger.
Who'd have thunk?
You son of a bitch.
I think I would have been more convinced if, at the end of this movie, it turns out Charlize Theron is double, triple, and quadruple-crossing everyone, and she did it as an acting exercise to see if she could fool everyone six ways to Sunday by playing four different girls to three different guys.
Again, if the movie plays it straight, I'm okay with it. Even the twist that she's in on it with Gary Sinise, I can be okay with, because then Ben Affleck is like, oh, my friend died, and he thought he was going to have sex with you, and you suck. Okay, fine. But the third twist is more than I can take. And by the way, the reveal... Well, we'll get to that at the end. I love the reveal of the twist. It's like, I'm the dude who whistles. Remember when I whistled earlier?
Yeah, and the film has a lot of that, including having Clarence Williams pathologically smoke.
Yeah.
So that when we get to that little bit at the end, you're not sitting, wait a minute, I don't remember him, as if someone's going to stand up in the theater. Wait a minute!
Don't worry,
he's not a smoker!
We've seeded that throughout the movie. It's okay.
It's okay.
The original title of this, I think, was Monsters in the Gelatin. Right? Then they made it a Christmas movie.
But then they named Gary Sinise's character Monster, and it was confusing.
Right.
He's sister, in the gelatin?
Well, his sister was called Gelatin originally. And it was like, that's incest, and that's not cool.
Also, you have to hand it to the Gary Sinise character. That
he died for our sins?
No, he did this all without legs.
You beat me to it. I was going to make a joke.
Sorry.
Lieutenant Dan, you're all right. That just now, he said, you guys will live happily ever after and give me nieces and nephews. That means he's really playing the part of being her brother.
Yeah.
That would be kind of hard to immediately jump to that if you weren't really.
And again, everybody...
Unless you were reading from a script by Aaron Kruger.
And everybody who is in love with Charlize Theron is totally okay with her fucking other guys in order to rob the casino. Gary Sinise is okay with her doing it with Ben Affleck. Nick is okay with her doing it with Ben Affleck and Gary Sinise.
In a weird way. And this
Doug.
Is kind of crazy. Like, if you are, do subscribe to the fantasy that this movie is in the world of this movie.
And I do.
And if you really do know, like, the types of criminals that are out there in real life,
and
I don't think it's that
do.
Far-fetched that a guy would totally pimp his girl to rob a casino.
Well, it speaks to very hard...
A girl that doesn't look like Charlize Theron.
It speaks to very hard economic times. And at one point, Sinise starts talking about how much he doesn't want to be a trucker anymore.
Yeah.
That... Clearly the money is their goal and her virtue is nothing. But here's where we run into some real problems. And someone brought this up a couple weeks ago, that the minute you start Titanic by having old Rose narrate, that sort of gets rid of half the suspense because we kind of know that she made it all the way through.
Well,
throughout this film,
yeah,
they're constantly threatening to kill Affleck. And
yes.
yet we know that can never happen.
Well, that's not entirely true because the movie opens with what you think is his dead body. And the voiceover might tell you, okay, but he doesn't have to be dead. But any of us who have seen Sunset Boulevard can say, okay, this is a possibility.
Right, but even then, we know they're not going to kill
Sunset
him.
Boulevard.
Even then, we know they're not going to kill him now unless they're going to kill him and then put him in a Santa Claus suit.
Yes, I agree that we don't think that they're going to kill Ben Affleck halfway through the movie. But
they threaten to kill him way too many times.
I guess, but I mean, that's almost every movie, isn't it?
It seemed to me that this film was falling prey to, and you've heard of this before, the myth of the talking killer.
Yes. Oh, well, and especially at the end.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's the Seth Green thing from Austin Powers.
Right.
Shoot him.
Right. And the problem is there's so many twists that Aaron Kruger has to have his characters explain, here's how I did it, because otherwise we're like, well, how the fuck are you alive? You're in on this? You're the guy who whistles?
In
Wait,
the opening
you're
sequence,
Nick?
Though, wasn't he, like, flying over his neighborhood in his pajamas, a la American Beauty?
Here's what Patrick was talking about, that,
yeah.
The See? Donald Lowe character.
They should have listened to
shows
him, right here.
Insight.
Shut up, Donald. Donald?
See, he's on to something.
What happened
here.
To Donald Lowe, by the way?
He's got stuff in his teeth. I don't know.
He had a show on Fox for a while.
Yeah, and then he had a show on FX. It was pretty good, but it got canceled.
That's why I said season. Fox. Oh, you just said, you
Terriers.
Took out the O.
Yeah.
You took out the O.
No,
and he writes
we
and directs
disagree
films.
On how that is pronounced.
He writes and directs films, or am I confusing him with someone else?
You're confusing him with Woody Allen. Woody Allen.
He is not a writer and director.
I do not believe so, no.
Okay, then I'm confusing him with...
Mark Duplass.
No, a film that he was in.
Woody Allen.
You can count on me.
He's not in that movie.
Who wrote and directed
Kenneth
that?
Lonergan.
You see why I'm getting old.
The
I
guy
can't
who did Terriers did
my grandchildren anymore.
Did Chicago Code.
Yes, Sean Ryan. Back
Sean
to
Ryan.
Reindeer Games.
And once again, they're
What's she afraid
to
of?
Kill
her
him.
Brother. And he's like, haha, that's the right answer. But again, he's not her brother, so why does he think that's the answer? Anyway, what I'm saying is, there are holes in Reindeer Games, guys. We could have talked about...
There
any
are
number,
holes in with Ray Charlize Theron?
Any number of Christmas movies, okay? But they were not all available on Netflix.
That's a bit.
We would have done Jingle All the Way, let's face it.
We would have.
Doug wants a Turbo Man.
Only me and Jake Lloyd.
Doug will do the rest of the podcast.
This is Bond right
Not as Jake Lloyd, but as Arnold Schwarzenegger in Batman and Robin. Go! Ice puns. Guys.
I know,
Ice
I know.
Puns.
Thank you. You're spring this stuff on me. I could do like... What killed the dinosaurs?
What, I don't actually know.
The Ice Age!
Oh, I did not see that.
He had to split!
That's not...
No?
Let off some steam, Bennett. It is the chilling sound of your doom!
Thank you. That's probably the one you were going for, and I
It
went,
wasn't, no.
I went
the I
other
like
one,
the Ice Age.
And the Running Man.
Okay, now the wholly implausible film takes an even bigger dip into implausibility.
He wants some pecan fucking pie.
I think this is my least favorite scene.
Who says pecan? I actually, I don't like the scene because, yeah, they stop, but I do like Ben Affleck's food acting right here.
And clearly this is meant to be comic relief, but
yes.
it completely dissipates the bad guy's menace because they're willing to sit there and wait for him to finish pie? Come on.
And what booth can fit six grown adults, too? I mean, no, that's a legit...
They had to call ahead for that. The family booth.
Watching this without the sound on, not just Ben Affleck's food acting, Ben Affleck's punched in the background acting, like swoozies, you know, swooning...
I think the movie does, every once in a while, get away with this idea that they don't know what they're doing, and so they're not supposed to be menacing all the time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did totally get punched in the face.
I actually liked that and thought they could have done something with it. Again, trying to salvage some entertainment value out of this movie.
There's so much entertainment value in this movie.
That
it's a very gray movie, by the way.
When Charlize Theron tells him that they've never pulled a robbery before, and then later Affleck uses that and says, "Raise your hand if you've pulled a robbery." I kind of like that.
Yeah,
there's a no.
And then he says, "Never put a car." I meant to ask you when you were talking about the trailer.
But to John's point, there's another couple good scenes in this movie. let's not write reindeer games
it's
off.
It's nice to see Dennis Farina getting work,
and he's funny in the movie. Now, okay, I'm sorry. I know who all these guys are. Who is the actress that they're sitting with?
Charlize Theron.
Okay, once again, the star of Monster. That's what you're saying the actress is? Because that is a very different actress.
She's super young. Even though this wasn't nearly her first movie.
No, and how dare she say this is her worst movie? She's in 2 Days in the Valley. She's in The Devil's Advocate. She's in fucking Legend of Bagger Vance.
Although there was a good scene in Devil's Advocate.
She's in that other Cuba Gooding Jr. Men of Honor.
There was also a terrible scene in 2 Days in the Valley and a great scene in Devil's Advocate. I believe she was in church. A very spiritual scene.
She's all cut up though. That's not good.
Please,
you don't even care.
I do not care.
Let me tell you.
Squint.
Let me.
I have an astigmatism. I can't see the cuts
in the trailer.
I'm into cutters.
So you just watch the trailer. Do they have the line?
You mean I just watched it, like, just before this?
Yeah.
Or I just watched that and not the movie before this?
Do they have Ben Affleck doing the line, "Never put a car thief behind the wheel" or something?
Yes, they do.
It's, like, maybe the most famous thing from the trailer that I remember from the year 2000. And watching the movie again, it's really funny because his voice really cracks. I'm like, "Never put a car thief!" I'm like, "Did anyone want to do one more take? You don't want to say, like, can we go again, John Frankenheimer?" I think I might have cracked on that.
I think that's the
sensitivity
scene.
And then they put it in all the ads.
That's the scene where he was concussed, I think.
By the way, powwow safe is the best he could come up with. Aaron Kruger, I mean, not Ben Affleck. It's
also
the worst thing since unobtainium.
I'm watching the scene, and I'm thinking this is the page in the How to Write Big Scripts book that Aaron Kruger read to make his career that suggested that characters should have nicknames for each other. So Sinise starts calling him Convict, and then Clarence Williams calls him Romeo, and Gabriel's called Monster. So give everyone in your movie two names. That'll make everything more clear.
As ridiculous as it is that he's named Rudy and his friend is named Nick,
yes.
I do give Aaron Kruger this much credit for showing some restraint and not just straight up naming everyone.
What are you talking about? Gary Sinise, isn't he Monster Kringle?
Donner.
I thought that was his name.
Donner and Blitzen and Grinch.
I do like that they keep using, like, American Indian, Native American terms. I'm surprised wampum hasn't come up yet, because they're robbing a safe, a powwow safe, with wampum. I hope no squaws get caught in the crossfire.
Aaron Kruger seems to think that you can't write a movie without...
Stop right there.
A bad twist.
Aaron Kruger seems to think...
Think about it. Arlington Road, The Ring, Scream 3,
I never think of Arlington Road.
I don't either, but it has a horrible twist. There's so many... His movies are all based on, like, I'll show I'm a good screenwriter by having a twist at the end for its own sake. You know?
Maybe just people are, I know it's a different time, it's over a decade later, but I think at that time maybe people were just like, a twist, any twist
post
is good.
Sixth Sense, you think?
Yeah, absolutely, and
this movie
and
was already
9/11.
In what the can, is with the, what, were, is with as, the what is with the storybook?
What are you talking about? I want to lay on it next to Ben Affleck, is that what you're asking?
The storybook arch over the bed.
I just want to
call. Is this the fantasy room that they've
maybe,
booked in?
Maybe.
For women who want to feel like Cinderella or something?
Maybe.
What hotel is this? And look at that rug. And then the walls look like cinder blocks.
So
you're supposed to be like a castle?
All right. So your
they're
problem,
trying to class the place up
your
with that
problem
arch.
With reindeer games is the decorating?
The set design is horrible.
No, actually, I would say the exterior shot really speaks to low-class motel. Later, when we get to the casino, I have this theory that for the exterior, they used a bowling alley. The exterior of the casino really looks like a bowling alley, and the inside looks like a set.
In the director's cut, Dennis Farina has a lot more time. He's in a completely different movie about a casino boss running a failing casino. And he's talking up all the things that his casino has that others don't, like the fact that they serve Coke and Pepsi. It's this long speech, and it's funny. It's a totally different movie. I miss it, is what I'm saying.
I think
this is not the movie Frankenheimer intended
This this takes place in Winterfell, so they've got the castle-like arch. It's winter outside. Winter is come. No, Game of Thrones. No.
Also, taking a page from Titanic. Don't Ashley and Nick say each other's names quite a bit?
They might.
In this movie?
Yeah, they might.
Rudy? Nick. Well, his name isn't God, but Nick. Ashley. Gabriel Monster.
When you watch it a second time, knowing what you know, it's like she. No wonder they gave her an Oscar. She gives a terrific performance because she always stays in character and never screws anything up until the end when she says something about getting shivved, and he's like, "Wait, I never said shivved. I said he died." She's like, "No, you said shiv." "No, I never said shiv." And then she has a great, like, a shiv, a knife, a shank, whatever. I just wanted her to keep going with it. You know? A blade, a cutter, a stabby thing. Just keep going. Keep going. That's what I say.
Even there, she looks kind of like a fox. And she's out of focus, too.
Oddly enough, at this point, she's still perpetrating this lie. But what she just said is true. So, like Ben Affleck earlier saying, "Well, maybe my cellmate helped me a little bit with the romantic stuff." You see people lying, starting to tell a little bit of the truth as if that would make it better. Like that Sandusky guy recently.
Now, here we are. Hold on. Let's...
Now, is this intended to be comic relief? Is he supposed to look like Custer?
I think it's supposed to be funny. I mean, it's like... It's so far over the top that, again...
Doesn't he refer to himself just as a cowboy, by the way?
Yeah,
like, that's not a cowboy. I don't know what that is, but that's not a cowboy.
It's ridiculous. It's like what a 10-year-old comes up with as a disguise.
Or a pistachio disguise.
And again, movie has this problem of tone, where at times it's...
Okay, watch when they pull it.
Sort of a standard thriller, and then it's a black comedy, and then it's this thing...
That is not a casino.
No.
That is a bowling alley.
It may be.
Or a movie theater.
Hmm.
But it's not a casino.
I want to rob that bowling alley.
I've been to some pretty lowbrow casinos in my day. I frequent northern Wisconsin. There's a lot of Indian casinos up there. And they're all beautiful, magnificent
and they're not
meccas.
Tiny.
No, they're enormous because that's like, that's their, the tribe's like, you know.
Well, this one serves Coke.
That's their powwow safe. They need to make it as big as possible.
Oh, so he has to go in a disguise and case the joint, but he can't. Look like himself because then they'll recognize
him. By disguise, you mean a disguise that will fool no one because they're all going to say, "Nick, you got out of prison. You grew a beard."
He should have gone in like on stilts in a giant overcoat.
He should have become Muppet Man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Muppet.
And she's going to go in too. So.
And so you'll need this hat.
Her disguise is, I mean, it's just a hat. And
so we know you're a couple. And wear sunglasses in a darkened casino building. That will allay suspicion.
And again, I don't hate the idea of this guy who's constantly putting these situations...
Just wiping my Corvette down.
Having to sort of think his way out of each new thing thrown in front of him. But the movie completely undermines itself with all these stupid twists.
And once again, we're entering the bowling alley.
Why isn't anyone looking at him?
Here's one of my favorite lines. A lot of relationships start out like this, you know, family problems.
Save it, bam, bam.
It's like, and then all this happened from Pearl Harbor.
Now we're
Ben Affleck's other movie from the year 2000.
Now we're in a budget Hollywood set of a casino.
Yeah. And here's Dennis Farina, photoshopped in with other celebrities.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And again, he's in a different movie.
Former Chicago police officer, Dennis Farina.
And to show how bad the Photoshop was, it looks like a Robin Williams impersonator.
Right?
It doesn't even look like Robin Williams.
Is that the joke?
You genius. No, I don't think it's supposed to.
He
used to run casinos in Vegas, and he knows all these celebrities, and now he's running this
show. Because it'd be funny if it was just like, it really was like an obvious Photoshop type thing. If that's the direction they're going. Which...
And you can see when Dennis Farina accepted this job, he said, "This is going to be my casino."
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
That was close.
Right? And again, he's just pretending.
By the way, with this, that action would cause more suspicion. Boom!
I don't know if you know this, but security guards are trained to look for people who quickly look away from them. The first thing you look for on the casino floor.
That's the one, because that's the one guard, and no cameras in this casino.
Did you see the name of the slot machine he was playing?
No.
Silver and gold, everyone. Yes. Silver and gold.
I halfway expected a Burl Ives cameo.
He's a snowman outside.
Hey, kids!
Remember that Durant? Really big snowman?
Yeah, I'm doing a snowman. Ooh. Cut me some slack. I'm doing any snowman.
I'm not suspicious at all. And notice I'm smoking.
That extra right there is my favorite. Uh-oh. I'm afraid we're out of things to say about reindeer games, everyone.
The 45-minute mark. Really? Yeah, that's pretty through. Good. I feel good.
All right. I don't know. Link from the mod squad.
And from the bells, I'll go right to my seat. Well, Patrick, it's been out.
Doug is going to leave us.
I'm just pulling out my car keys, and we're going.
Also, I'd like to point out, who decided that Cher, Robin Williams, and Dolly Parton spell Vegas?
I can kind of see Cher.
Talk to me about this. Why is Ashton Kutcher in this movie?
Right? It did look like Ashton Kutcher, didn't it?
It is.
With a fake beard on.
It is.
It's not actually Ashton Kutcher.
Yes, it is.
Did you look it up on IMDb? Because I'm going to say no, it isn't.
I want me to look it up?
No, it is.
Okay,
it is.
Doug's going to look it up, everyone.
Okay.
If you're playing along at home, you can beat us to it by looking it up.
Also, I'm wondering why the black waitress always says she's cold.
It's what? Her thing.
It's demented.
Listen, Aaron Kruger wanted to give everyone a rich
Ashton
backstory.
Kutcher, college kid.
Yep.
Get out of town.
I missed it. By the way, I turned away.
How many times have you seen this?
A bunch.
It's him.
I looked away.
He comes back. Don't worry. Okay. Yeah, Netflix swaps clothes with him. Ashton Kutcher, I will say, was doing a handful of Miramax movies around this time also, usually in small roles. I think he had maybe just started.
Okay, there we go. That's him.
That's crazy.
That does look crazy. I can't believe that's the star of Two and a Half Men.
Right?
You know who else was in that previous scene?
Who?
Sir John Gielgud.
Get out of town.
Yeah, he was the, I believe in the end credits, he's called Lonely Blackjack Dealer.
Oh, I hope you have some useful information. And that you're not cold.
Near the end of his life, Gielgud was interviewed, and he said, "One of my most rewarding roles was that of the lonely blackjack dealer in Frankenheimer's final film, Reindeer Games.
I studied for the part for 3 years.
It was a delightful... Well, I went to school to learn to deal blackjack, and I was very surprised that I was shuffled off to the edge of the frame."
Link from the Mod Squad just figured it out. Look out, Ashton Kutcher!
Oh! Guys, we're going to name our Indian casino. What should we name it? The teepee? Taken. Tomahawk. Good.
What was either that?
Thank goodness, because I was out after that.
It was either that or Peace Pipeville.
Wigwam sounds kind of pussy.
Yurt is too foreign.
Run, Ashton Kutcher, run! Right into the arms of Demi Moore.
No, Ashton Kutcher runs around the corner to where the cameras are. You've been punked! Carrie Sinise.
You're in Reindeer Games. Now we have a chase scene.
This movie cost $34 million.
Okay. It made most of that back from me.
To make. And it, I think it was it made half.
I cannot believe Ashton Kutcher is in this movie. I have to totally reassess my opinion. Ashton Kutcher from The Butterfly Effect?
Who did you think it was?
I just thought it was some guy. I never really paid attention.
Wow. Wait, does he have a line? Does he even say anything?
He just said, yeah. Like a guy... Pay me money, you can have it.
Again, it's on mute, people.
Yeah, totally. Right?
Right.
I know. Right? Ashton Kutcher, the star of New Year's Eve?
Now, at this point...
Run, Ben Affleck, run!
I'm willing to suspend my...
Where is he? I've lost him.
But again, I've been to casinos.
Not
me. Guys take big weapons out of the trunk of a car in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I think casino security would have something to say about that.
Well, this is supposed to take place in the UP, I think.
Yeah.
Northern Michigan.
Yeah.
And
where it really seems like Canada.
Where there are no police.
There's Mounties.
It was shot in Vancouver, I think. Yeah. And it was supposed to take place in UP. And
anywhere there's snow is fine.
There are probably tribal police, which I would be more afraid of than, because that's like Chechnya up there.
We think he's going to get away, everyone.
No, who thinks he's going to get away?
This is outstanding photography right there.
I never thought for a second he was going to get away.
Well, of course.
By the way, half of his running was trying not to run into the camera. Like, oh, are you okay? He keeps saying, mouthing that. Like,
let me just flag this car down.
He thinks he's getting away.
Here, Jesus, take the wheel. That's the worst joke I've made. I've made some stinkers.
I like that joke because it ties into the whole Christmas thing.
As you,
I guess, win. Audience, this is that was our scream was perfectly in, on our, the version we're watching of Reindeer Games. It was when Ben Affleck jumps
as
up.
As you
if you're off a little bit, now's the time to realign because sometimes there's compression issues or timing issues
right.
with GarageBand.
It happened to us on.
If you want to explain,
well, I don't know what does it, but on Sleepaway Camp, no matter how much we tried to
sink it,
Okay,
Ben Affleck just hit Gary Sinise with the gun. He's picking up Charlize Theron from the snowdrift. And they're running towards a shed.
If you need to sync your movie up, Reindeer Games just got real.
Rifle shot. Oh, I was a little early on that. Sorry.
duck and cover.
Now I have a machine gun. Ha. Alan Rickman just showed up in Reindeer Games, everyone.
Oh, no! The elevator that brought it into the water.
It's the Swamps of Sadness.
I'm not... Then she's dead for good, right?
I believe
the saddest part of Reindeer Games.
Why does he go in to get her? She's the worst.
Because he doesn't know yet.
He does know. He thought she set him up.
Because it's to prove that he's a good guy.
Oh, right.
I think...
That's not the exit.
There's so many movies where people fall under the ice.
Yeah.
I would like to see a movie where, like, in It's a Wonderful Life, his brother falls under the ice and he saves him and he loses his hearing one ear. At the beginning of the movie, someone falls in the ice. Yeah. Someone rescues them, just like this, and they're under the ice and they have to break a hole in the ice and now are they going to have enough... can they hold their breath for long enough? Then they come up through the ice and then they grab them up from the ice. And then they fall on the ice again, and then they're under the ice, and they have to find the hole and stuff for the entire movie.
So you want someone in Reindeer Games to lose their hearing?
No. Can you imagine sitting in the movie where they just kept falling on the ice and looking at the other people in the theater after about a half an hour?
JB, what an ice hole.
Now here's a nice guy who just wants to help, right? Instead, he's going to get shot and killed.
And as my wife and I often say, this part is played by the contest winner.
By the way, that's not a shed. I just realized, that's an ice shack. Come on.
You could be an extra in a major Hollywood film. And I keep wondering why they chose to do this. Ice fisherman goes back in the shed. Gary Sinise...
They'll never find me here.
Right. Gary Sinise fires into the shed. And later we find out that he was successful. We hear a radio thing or something on TV that the ice fisherman was killed or he's presumed lost or something. Why does the ice fisherman get killed in the shed? It's weird.
I'm not really sure. No witnesses? In the director's cut, that scene is longer, and Gary Sinise goes into the shed and, like, executes the
guy. You're kidding.
No, for real.
Oh, well, that answers my question.
So it's weird that they would feel the need to, like, fill that hole in the theatrical cut. Like, well, people are going to wonder what happened to the ice fisherman.
Because in the editing, clearly they thought that was enough
for
the theatrical version.
Which it is, by the way.
We can assume that he's dead.
Right. Why wouldn't we?
Surprisingly, Gary Sinise did not
buff
up. Hold on,
we have to watch Ben Affleck's cold acting.
He did not buff up for this part. That's all Sinise. That's cut from marble Sinise right there. He doesn't need to work out for a role, because shit, man.
He's never a very good bad guy, but he's actually played several bad guys.
And I
thought I was some gambler.
I don't buy it, and maybe it's because a long time ago.
Hold on, some dart acting.
Yeah.
Listen, again, I'm not trying to make excuses for Reindeer Games.
Dartist,
but I do appreciate the fact that at one point he does actually throw a dart into him.
How did they do that?
I'm assuming they threw a dart into Ben Affleck.
No, it's not CGI. How did they get the dart so close to his face?
Professional dartist. Maybe they're on a filament, like a fishing line.
At this point, I want Ben Affleck to look at Gary Sinise and say, nice grouping.
Triple 20. That's a thing, right?
And again, we just have more exposition. This movie is a ton of exposition.
Oh, this is the thing about him not wanting to drive the truck.
Yeah.
And again, I
don't want to rob casinos and have sex with my sister.
I don't believe him.
She's
for
not my sister.
Second.
Ah, shit! I just gave it away.
It's like his secret desire is to be a cat. He has this weird elfin quality, which I thought had something to do with reindeer games. I wanted the monologue to become, now, working for Santa and making toys. That would be something for a little tiny elfin guy like me to do.
What I really want to be is a dentist.
Oh, he's cold again.
I think this is where it gets, I'm not going to throw this dart. Monster.
Here, what?
He's like, I've been trying to hit you the whole time. Boom! And then he really does. Dart to the chest. director's cut, he gets hit with more darts.
Oh, jeez.
He, like, stands up and gets darts in the back.
And did the MPAA object to that?
I'm not really sure.
In the rating explanation, dart violence.
Well, the thing is, Frankenheimer...
Frankenheimer's like, if there's one thing I know in my 70 years of life, is that more darts equals more box office dollars.
They put the darts back in, and then he's like, now I'll put on the cover box, this is the picture I wanted to make, more darts! They made me cut all the darts out of French Connection 2.
French Connection 2,
guys. Wow. He directed that movie, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
Well, this looks like you've been hit with darts.
Did you dart him?
Seriously.
You told me your dartist ways were in the past.
Who darted?
Look, when I got involved in this, I had one request. I made it very clear. No darts!
She should have cut herself open and let him climb in. I thought you smelled bad on the outside.
Mom's gravy. Is that a euphemism?
Yes. This movie's all about incest. What's with Clarence Williams also constantly saying Santa's dwarves? Like, why do they want to make that catch on?
I will answer that question as soon as you tell me who Clarence Williams is.
The crazy batshit smoker.
He's the black one!
Oh, thank you, John. He doesn't see the world through that lens.
Now he starts to trust. They start to trust each other again. See?
I would trust you a lot more if I was inside you.
Stay here. I'm going to go down and have sex with Gary Sinise.
Wait, that's next?
It's coming up, yeah.
Can you insert a zipper sound effect on the commentary?
I don't
right
need
now?
To. Just unzip.
Let's see if it works.
Oh. Yeah. This week's podcast is in Censorama.
Wait, I did that way too soon.
So, yeah, it was movies like this and Paycheck and Phantoms and Forces of Nature. These were the movies that Ben Affleck made that kind of shit-canned his career. And I am kind of glad that he bounced back and has a career as a director again, because I think he has some talent as a director.
Charlize Theron
makes me both of his movies.
Hard as a dart. He directed Gone Baby Gone, too?
Yes.
Okay. And The Town.
No, I have a machine gun.
We did the worst Rickman.
I don't know. You say worst. I think second worst.
Doesn't she pour liquor over her breasts, too?
I don't remember that taking place, but it's possible. I didn't remember Ashton Kutcher, so clearly I've never seen Reindeer Games.
Do you remember
this? That could be in the director's cut. And you know what this is reminding me of? When my son, who is now a film student, was 7 or 8, he used to make little
his
home videos
Reindeer Games.
With his friends. And all of these videos had the same plot. They would go up the steps. They would encounter some sort of problem. They would come down the steps. We call them the steps movies. Up the steps, down the steps. I was his cinematographer. I had to work the camera. Up the steps, down the steps. And then out to the patio to shoot each other, because you could only shoot each other on the patio, because we would only allow the fake blood on the patio, so it wouldn't get on the rug. In this movie,
he was 7 or 8 with fake blood?
Oh, yeah.
You're DCFS, I'm calling him.
So this movie is to the truck, away from the truck.
Right?
We go to the truck, things are discussed, we go away from the truck.
Why couldn't
we're
they
in
have
the
this
truck,
conversation
out of the truck.
In the hotel room?
No, because this increases the tension along with her hat.
Does this movie I recently saw a movie called The Dilemma, which is, it's the shittiest. I think, JB, you gave it a two-word review, didn't you? Shit sandwich, I believe.
It's so inexplicably bad.
And my point...
Better or worse than Reindeer Games?
Oh, way worse.
I would say Dilemma is worse than Reindeer Games.
Nice! That's what I want to hear. I just want to keep Reindeer Games up pretty the soon ladder. It's going to be enough movies that are worse, and everyone's like, Reindeer Games is pretty good. Hey,
wait, look at it this way. It's the best Ashton Kutcher movie.
The reason I bring up The Dilemma is only for this.
It's because you're experiencing a dilemma right now.
I am. No. It's the kind of movie where I look at it and it seems to me like no one... Movies to me seem like a lot of fun. Like, I would love to be on a set and act in a movie. It seems like a lot of fun. You always watch the blooper reels of comedies and it's like, man, that looks like fun. Dilemma looks like it's no fun. Like, yeah. No, everyone is phoning it in. It doesn't look interesting. They look bored. This movie has a little bit of that, too. No one looks like... Donald Logue is just standing there for days. You know, he's just like... He's cashing a paycheck. Well,
yeah, they're doing this because they're making a movie.
Happy that Vin Diesel got fired. Well, I think part of the problem, too, is that they're, like, freezing all the time.
And they just looked miserable. It looks like a miserable movie. For a movie about Christmas, that's what this movie's about, right?
Yes. It's about the spirit of giving. Wait till we get to the fucking lunatic last scene.
You know what it is such you a know what colorless this movie, needs? Movie. This movie needs Santa Claus to show up and teach them a thing or
even,
two.
Even the
Santa Claus should have been the reveal instead of the real Nick whistling at the end. It should have just been fucking Santa comes out from behind the truck.
And Santa explains, yeah, I used her to get strangers to rob a casino. Ho, ho, ho. Now, there's a movie.
That's such a better movie. All right, back to...
Even Bad Santa has color. You know, it's just and that's like a depressing, you know... I don't know how I feel about that movie, actually.
People love it. It has some funny things.
People love what?
Bad Santa.
Oh, yeah, it's weird.
It is, for weird
stuff. I would watch Reindeer Games again before I would watch
Bad Santa. I would watch Bad Santa for one scene, maybe two, because I love Gilmore Girls, and I love underwear on ladies.
Ladies underwear on you, is what you're saying.
Although, oddly enough, think about it. The Bad 90s. Santa revolves around ripping off something at the holidays.
Listen,
with using
there are
Santa
very few...
as a cover.
Christmas movies that aren't about
the reveal, the secret compartment.
Here it is, everyone.
We've been keeping these Santa suits hidden from the law for years.
No one would suspect anything if we all dress as Santa.
What's behind that dartboard?
Oh.
I like it. Didn't earlier in this, like, what's behind that dartboard? And he goes, never you mind.
I really thought, given that they're ripping off a casino.
It's not time for that reveal yet.
Nothing Santa related.
I thought, given that they're ripping off a casino.
Just regular street clothes.
Red and white. I mean, regular brown, maybe brown, red and white clothes.
Sorry.
I thought they were all going to be disguised as Elvis.
Oh, that's 3,000 Miles to Graceland, right?
Yeah, I know.
Which is also a worse movie than Reindeer Games. Boom, Reindeer Games, you just moved up another
this
step.
This is useful knowledge. The end of a dart is a Phillips screwdriver.
So if someone throws darts at you.
You know,
did you know that?
I actually, this is a...
Doug used to work at a dart
store. I was going to say, a personal reveal of Doug here. I worked at a place, a dart store in Rogers Park on Lunt and Clark. And it was a miserable winter. Mostly because Santa's ripped me off.
And when the store would need some minor repairs, would you take the flight?
The place
off the
was
darts
lousy with Phillips head screen.
I knew, like, I played so much darts and I could not, I never hit Ben Affleck in the chest.
Yeah, well, that's your ticket onto a movie set. You think they look like so much fun? Become a professional dartist.
And it's weird, too, because it was in the mid 90s. Frankenheimer came, he was a regular. He saw me with my dart skills. I took the flight and the tip and the shaft. I knew all the dart terminology. By the way, that's all the dart terminology.
Tip and shaft. I'm pretty sure you're just referring to your wang.
And the flight.
My balls. Doug refer to himself as a tip and shaft expert. Okay, this is the sequence that I call cat and mouse.
Yeah. Ben Affleck, once again, trying to escape. It's pronounced escape.
Yes.
What's in here? Shit. No Phillips head screwdrivers.
And again, constantly with the narrating so that we're never confused. You really feel like, and again, I don't know that the director's cut is more vague, But you really get the feeling, and this is true of a lot of Dimension movies, especially of this era, where they don't want a single thing left to chance. It just has to be reduced to the dumbest thing possible.
Do you ever, in all seriousness, do you ever talk to yourself? Like, when you're alone, do you talk to yourself?
Not really, no. I'm able to think things and not say them out loud.
I talk to myself more than I think, but it's mostly when I stare at myself in a mirror nude and I say, I do me.
Yeah.
You would do me.
You tuck it back and you'd be like, I fuck me.
Yeah.
I want to fuck. And you're like, oh, wait, she a great big fat person.
Up, here comes the big reveal.
Doug.
Doug,
can you go get something from the other room?
Right back.
And by big reveal, I mean for breasts.
He keeps zipping and unzipping his pants, everyone.
Oh, what
my
is,
flight!
What is the what is the tattoo on his chest?
I'm pretty sure...
Bear Claw?
Santa.
I'm pretty sure it's the Slay. North Pole. I believe that's frankincense and myrrh.
Frankenheimer and myrrh.
Nice. Could horrible it be joke. Coco Pelli, that little drawing that's supposed to represent music and art?
You call my bluff like I don't know reindeer games. I believe she's holding a glass of scotch, maybe whiskey, maybe rum. It's a brown liquor.
What is the tattoo on his chest?
I don't know.
I think it's a...
I'm not that caught up in it.
Penn State stamp.
So here's where we find out, everyone, that they are not brother and sister. Or if they are, that it's...
Whoa, hold on.
Here's Doug's favorite scene in Reindeer Games, everyone.
I'm a pervert!
Academy Award winner, Charlize
Doug's
Theron.
Two favorite things in Reindeer Games. Ooh, sexy sex.
And now he's all, wait a minute. But they're still talking like they're brother and sister, which is weird, everyone. Very, very weird.
But
Doug, for a second, I'm starting to think you're confusing this with Showgirls.
I'm kind of into it.
If it were Showgirls, the water would start bubbling and churning, and she would give him a lap dance at the pool that looked like he was trying to kill him. That's the one scene I remember from Showgirls, that weird
first,
jacuzzi pool
scene. Why does he say, see you later, assholes?
Like, for the record, you've been in like a hotel pool or something. Can't listen. You can't hear a person 2 feet away from you. It's so echoey.
Right.
He's in the hallway? Bullshit. Bullshit, Reindeer Games.
Oh, Romeo. Keeps calling him Romeo.
Okay, and now we have some non-existent suspense.
This is the Ferris Bueller.
Boom, 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 boom.
He stops to see the girl sunbathing.
He's on a trampoline. He runs through a house.
Let's try this.
Ben Affleck running acting.
For those of you watching along with home.
That Frankenheimer, like the sideways, like with whip pan. It's a crooked, it's like, I mean, it's such a...
He kind of over-directs the movie like crazy. Because, you know, maybe he realized there isn't much there, so he just sort of throws all this unnecessary style at the movie.
I think he knew it was his last movie. He's like, I'm going to do one of these.
Wanted to do this shot.
What's a zoom in dolly? Yeah, where can I put that?
Oh, and this, I thought, and again, I know we're supposed to suspend our disbelief, but...
He is a car thief.
And hotwiring a car is exactly like defeating the lock
in a hotel
room.
I'm sorry, wait. He is a car thief!
Thank God Clarence Williams was hungry for leftover room
but
service.
He didn't eat these peas.
I'm going to eat them one at a time and enjoy my cigarette.
I sure hope this smoking isn't the death of me. good peas. Oh, man.
And then Danny Trejo. People slam doors in hotels all the time. What makes him say that?
It was probably Nick. Nope. The baseball is right in the glove where it's supposed to be.
Danny Trejo is a trucker here who has never stayed in a hotel. What's that noise of the slamming door? What is that? Should not be. He must sleep in his cab.
What do you mean I have to pay for the room? Ben Affleck card acting.
I was going to say, what is he doing? What is he playing with the cards?
Flippy cards.
He's flip.
It's a prison game. He learned it in prison. He only had 2 more days, you know.
Him and Nick played it all the time.
If you would like Patrick to explain to you how to play Flippy Card, send an email to
thismoviepodcast@something.net. Yes. Once again, playing Christmas music in the background.
What do we make of the extraneous detail that Ben Affleck charged all this stuff to the room?
I don't know. Again, that doesn't bother me. I think it's kind of funny that he's just finding little ways to fuck with them.
Oh, I
forgot. There were a lot of movies he wanted to see.
I forgot. You like this movie.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. This movie's a genius. Frankenheimer didn't make bad movies.
You know, it would be great if they said, why did you do this? And they're beating him up. Oh, here's another point where we know that they're not going to shoot.
Ah! Don't. Ah!
And the Super 35 shot where everything's in focus. there's the reveal. If Gary Sinise says, why did you charge all those... Why did you charge all those paper-free movies? And Ben Affleck looks up and says, there were some films of yours, Gary, that I hadn't seen yet. And it sort of breaks the fourth wall.
I like it.
Sort of becomes meta.
I like it. I didn't see the second half of Ransom. I never know if Mel Gibson got his son back.
No littering. That's not important information for a sign to have.
It is, because they litter big time later in this movie. Mm-hmm. With bodies.
Nice. We have the return of the voiceover narration.
He's drinking lighter fluid.
No, not yet.
Oh, sorry. It's Christmas Eve. I could be home right now drinking this monster eggnog my brother makes with lighter fluid.
Still, a half-hearted attempt to get
right? Donald Logue, still sort of the voice of reason. Come on. And this is why I would not have bought Vin Diesel in this part. Because Vin Diesel would have been a
big... Thanks for the reminder, Nick.
Up, the return of the little drummer boy.
Also, the original title of this movie.
I believe, no, Charlize Theron said it earlier. She said, come, they told me.
Wait a minute.
If I wish it went back and forth for like at least
this,
four whip pants to bottle
I could
to
drunk.
Gun.
He's an alcoholic. Ben Affleck really did spend some time in rehab, guys. This isn't funny.
Don't bogart that bottle.
He knows the word diversion. He's no dummy.
There ain't going to be no more rest of your life. Notice the sign actually works. Give them credit for that. And then we turn...
They spent $30 million on this movie.
And, well, they spent somewhat less than $30 million renting a bowling alley to take the place of an Indian casino.
Hey, they wanted to film on league nights. They got to pay a premium.
Oh, and here we have the trope
I can't believe we're at the heist already. This is flying by.
Here we have the
trope. It's a cosmic heist.
Sorry, you were saying trope?
No.
And there's Santa in the closet.
One of the security screens was showing Miracle on 34th Street, because, of course, you can't have any movie where there isn't some embedded reference to something.
I've actually never seen that movie, Miracle on 34th Street.
Santa's real. Spoilers. Santa's real.
It's terrific. And it's a famous scene in that movie, too, where he talks...
I know, his little girl tugs on his beard, and he's like, don't do that, bitch.
That little girl grows up to be Charlize Theron.
Nice.
So it all ties together.
That little girl grows up to be Natalie Wood, whose murder case was recently opened up again.
Well, she was killed but with a bunch of Santas, wasn't she? Natalie Wood? Thrown off the sleigh into the ocean.
Oh, so many Santas.
Now, I don't know his name. But
William S. Burroughs.
That's what he looks like. You can't eat that corn. It's green. No, that's Charles Bukowski. That guy used to do boatloads of TV.
This guy
I'm
right
talking
here?
About in the 70s.
Yeah.
And obviously looked a lot younger. And I wish I could remember his name because...
Ashton Kutcher, I believe.
That's he used Ashton to be in a lot of Kutcher. Stuff.
Well,
and I was surprised
and
to see
him show
up.
And he was in Reindeer Games. Here's the cold waitress again. And again, there's no one in the casino on Christmas Eve.
Which?
Because no degenerate gamblers would be out gambling on Christmas Eve.
I've never been...
Clearly, they're home with their families.
Getting drunk and being abusive. I've never been in a casino on Christmas Eve, but my guess is it's extraordinarily crowded.
I would think so.
And Vegas is very busy. Or maybe this is just a testament to what a shithole this is, but...
Lonnie Chapman? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
He's as the old-timer. I don't know if that's the right guy or not.
I believe he's old-timer, yeah. I believe Ben Affleck calls him old-timer.
The Birds.
Yeah. Ben Affleck is creating his diversion right now.
That's one of his roles. When they're in the diner, the guy who owns the diner in The Birds, that's who he played.
Lonnie Chapman, everyone.
And it was just
Lonnie
interesting
Brooks.
To see him.
Is this his final role? Don't look it up again. Don't worry about it.
All right. He looks very old in this, and...
When Frankenheimer died, he didn't want to live another day.
I think he actually stole Frankenheimer's essence.
And here we have something he's now a young man. Relatively right. implausible. We see Gary Sinise go up a stairwell that looks bigger than the casino set.
But look, the schematic that Ben Affleck gave him was wrong. And he's yep. like, now he's all...
Surprise!
Now I have a machine gun. In the director's cut, again, if you're keeping score of the differences between the movie Frankenheimer wanted to make and this thing that Miramax made him release, a bunch more security guards and people are murdered.
So I'm wondering, was it just for time? Because I know Weinstein is notorious for wanting things to be short.
I would assume so. I mean, the director's cut runs over 2 hours.
But I'm just like wondering if it had anything minutes. To do with rating.
I doubt it. I mean...
There's nothing too extreme in the director's cut, then?
Oh, one guy gets sawed in half. No, there's nothing crazy.
Because one thing I noticed when
there's extreme reindeer games. Awesome.
They have one guy gored by a reindeer. But no, I mean...
An actual reindeer shows up in the movie.
In a couple minutes, when we see Dennis Farina beat up,
yeah,
it's odd how much time and effort were spent to really make him look
30
awful.
Million.
And then when he's shooting... It's incongruous because it's like you should be in an emergency room, or maybe that's the reason why he doesn't hit anything.
Bad news, Vin Diesel. Oh, Vin Diesel is out of the picture, everyone.
Frankenheimer wants all the money on the screen. More blood on Farina. I heard him yelling from my home in college.
It just seems more grotesque than it needs to be.
Yeah. Oh,
and this scene is ironic because it's in an Indian casino and this is a Mexican standoff.
They are figured out that Ben Affleck is lying.
And the security guard that doesn't talk is another contest winner. You could play a major role in a Hollywood production.
Well, so Charlize Theron is a murderer, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now the kind of the jig is up and she's willing to. Because she's put eyeliner around her entire eyes now, so now she's dark Charlize Theron.
Yeah, I
we
get
can
it.
Tell that she's the evil.
I get it, and yet I'm now. Still aroused.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, because the last time you saw her, she was in that pool.
Do they go back to the pool? That hotel was kind of nice. Had a pool
and a bed.
Pay-per-view movies.
And it's interesting. Again, we were talking about Myth of the Talking Killer. That I think in reality, the idea would be get the money and get the hell out of here. And suddenly we have this. We have this method acting monologue. People like us come from ordinary towns, mill towns, plant towns. Let's get out of here, baby. No, wait, I'm not done.
There's other types of towns we come from.
Here's the makeup you were talking about. But again, yeah. I still do not understand Charlize Theron's plan because really she could have just convinced Gary Sinise to rob the casino. Why this middle step of Ben Affleck? I know they say later, like, they needed Ben Affleck to give the other guys the confidence to rob the casino, but that is hard to buy.
If there's one thing Ben Affleck instills in me, it's confidence.
Now, she doesn't want...
Yeah.
Diplomatic immunity!
She doesn't want... Now they find out that he's not Nick Cassidy, I guess is what I'm saying. He's actually Rudy. Car thief extraordinaire. Academy Award winner, Charlize Theron.
And again, once we know what Charlize Theron is really up to, why would this make any difference to her?
I don't know.
This guy's not Nick. He goes by many names. Père Noël, Chris Kringle, say Nick. You might know him as Rudy.
Because she's planning on killing all the Santas anyway.
Right.
As she explains later.
You are lucky, convict. For the 8th time tonight, I'm not going to kill you.
Wait, no!
Hold on. I'm still tap dancing. Back to the unobtainium safe.
It's kind of crazy that we're really caught up in the end of Reindeer Games.
Well, this is where everything comes together.
Or falls apart, depending on your...
No, definitely falls apart. Wow, we're really just... Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Snap us out of it, because...
Snap us what? Snap us off of it?
Now Jesus
pool
has
scene?
A machine gun.
Okay, and I'm guessing there are some people who think this is clever. I personally did not.
That the safe is filled with toupees?
It's all on the screen. $30 million in toupees.
Ooh.
Big toupee budget.
What? Oh, lucky shot. I didn't. Whoa, relief acting. That was relief acting.
And again,
I want to see cold acting again. Show us cold acting.
This is something I don't understand. When we're in the money room, there's a lot of money, but whatever's in the safe is enough to keep them there? I mean, think about what has just transpired.
Oh, the money that he's skimming.
Oh, I saw a book on the shelf just now. It said Blackjack. Nice decoration. That, see? Pow wow! Get it? It's a moron's idea of cleverness.
Aaron Does Kruger. He think that they're on the ceiling? Because he was, I mean, he's essentially.
That's why I thought they did his beat up makeup so bad to give some excuse but for the fact that this guy can't hit the broadside of a barn.
He walked up to a safe, entered a combination, which I assume was three different letters.
Look at his makeup. It's
and
crazy.
Then shoots at the ceiling.
Welcome to the Tomahawk. That's an applause line, everyone.
Welcome to the Tomahawk.
That's Bruce Willis.
You filthy
Welcome
animal.
To the party, pal. Fighting Santas.
Eeny, meeny, miny, hey mo.
And you know, I was so caught up in the inherent drama of this film that the first time I watched it, I didn't enjoy the fact that you seldom see two Santas fight. And you could get some degree of pleasure out of this.
You haven't been to my mall.
There's an impressive...
you haven't been to my family's house. Digital effect.
There's a digital effect coming up here. You'll see. And we have this horrible callback to the whole, like, oh, what would you say? I would say, thank you.
I know the digital effect that you're talking about.
Yeah. The callback to this dialogue is so terrible.
And here we have the 18th example of Myth of the Talking Killer.
Right. Before I shoot you, I'm just going to light this cigarette. You say thank you. This was a dialogue exchange from earlier. Now watch. Whoa. Digitally put Clarence Williams' face right there.
That's... and on the closed captioning, it says, screaming continues.
I like that. Oh, perfect. But if I act more with that gun, that he falls out a window, too.
Yeah.
I've noticed a phenomenon lately.
He should have fallen into a bear trap.
I've noticed this.
So it would have been O.J. Simpson in The Naked Gun.
I've noticed a phenomenon, though, because there are some movies that, like, there's really bad villains. Lethal Weapon 2 comes to mind. Where the villain, not the older guy, but the younger guy, the more vicious guy, the younger guy, his death in Lethal Weapon 2 is he gets crushed by a container.
Yeah.
And the effect is horrible. It's Strobe.
Yeah.
And that movie is now, I forgot which one I was watching. Green Hornet.
Okay.
Which, by the way, do not watch Green Hornet. Christoph Waltz's character gets stabbed in the eyes and then stabbed in the chest. It's like... The extremes that we go, and again, the joke is made in Naked Gun, where O.J. Simpson, also in MacGruber, there's the death of the guy at the end, Val Kilmer's character is ridiculous on purpose, but now it's like, well, in a real legit action movie, we have to have the deaths be kind of ridiculous also.
This is a phenomenon that's been going on for a really long time, and it's like, I call it dead.
Yeah.
It's not enough to kill them. It has to be humiliating and painful and awful.
Con Air was the first movie, I think, where I really noticed that, where John Malkovich gets, like, blown up, electrocuted, dropped on this thing that crushes his head.
I like at the end of a group,
been
though.
Been eaten by bugs.
He kills him, he falls off a cliff and shoots him, and then he pees on him. And I think MacGruber yells, "Fuck you, dude!" It's just such a funny, like, violent, "Fuck you, dude!" The dude at the end makes it. There's no fucking of dudes in this movie.
Now, what's great is that Jesus robbed the casino in time to celebrate his birthday. Because it's not midnight yet. Reminding you we're in Detroit every time we cut to the truck that says Motor City.
And Gary Sinise just said, "God bless us, everyone," which is yet another nauseating example of this thing trying to work in Christmas trips.
Right?
By the way, I've been in a truck once. My folks used to own a furniture store.
Yeah.
Those things are not easy to drive. I don't know if you can just hop in one and know how to drive it. I'm kind of respecting Gary Sinise right now, and that maybe his background is a truck driver.
Listen, you don't get a name like Monster for being a bad truck driver, is what I'm saying.
Oh, dear.
Now, they're staging the scene, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And for this to work, there has to be
Motor City Monster.
Oh.
Now it makes sense.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
What kind of monster is that?
So you might say Motor City Monster is your Ashton Kutcher, right? Right?
No, I can't believe you didn't recognize that was Ashton Kutcher.
By the way, why wouldn't they make, if the drawing on the side of the truck is a guy
still
with
talking,
a battle axe?
Not killing Ben Affleck, still just talking to him.
Shouldn't his weapon of choice be a battle axe?
That would be a kick-ass
Now let's
move.
See how lucky you are, because you've been lucky for 2 hours, buddy, because I've been trying to kill you for 2 hours.
You're not going to use your nose to light your way out of this one.
Rudy.
Should have gone more with that, is what I'm saying.
And from now on, me and the
Look
girl...
Look at this! Look at everything! I want you to see everything before you die!
Me and the girl aren't going to let you in any reindeer games, okay, gang?
Where are they? The Grand Canyon? What are they looking down?
They took him to the Grand Canyon.
It's a crevasse.
Okay, now, again, talking. And this is where she reveals... This is where she slips up for the first time, besides the whole sex in the pool thing.
And again, just like Gary Sinise not wanting to get out of the casino because there's a couple dollars left in that safe, it seems so odd to me that the minute Affleck calls her bluff with the shank...
Yeah, he's like, wait a minute.
He's all ears.
Yeah, yeah.
He's right. You never won. You got the money. That. You got the girl. Right. No, wait a minute. Let's hear this guy out.
I hope you have an explanation for this.
Yeah, at that point, Gary Sinise should turn to Charlize Theron and go, Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
Still a fox.
And what is her name again?
Noelle.
Ashley.
No, the actress. Who is that actress?
Vivica A. Fox.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, with a burned up heart.
Oh.
There's that dialogue we've come to expect from Aaron Kruger.
Aaron Kruger. This is what got you the job on Transformers.
Wasn't the original title
of
this?
Fallen.
Wasn't the original title of this Burned Up Heart?
Wild Christmas. Crazy Christmas.
Monsters in the Gelatin.
Christmas. Monsters in the Gelatin. Much better title.
Don't go getting all noble.
Here
me,
it
Rudy.
Is. Guy takes a shiv for you. And he's all, wait a minute.
What? Excuse me? Shit? What?
I never told you shit.
I said the line that you didn't.
No, the thing before, you said the shit.
I told you about the chimney, but not about the shit. What shit? Wait. I think this is worth not killing me.
I told you about the pecan pie. Yeah, that's right. I say pecan.
No. I said he died.
Yes, you said he died.
But no, wait. Let's get this straight. Before I die, I want to get. Is it okay, Gary Sinise? I would like to get this straight before I die. What did you...
And here's the great... A shiv, a knife, a shank.
Whatever.
A pointy point.
Pointy point. Also the name of the movie.
How'd she know, monster? How did she know?
And at this point, Gary Sinise should say, it doesn't matter, and shoot Ben Affleck.
And then maybe Charlize Theron, too.
What possible difference does it make?
Because he's being played. Oh.
Ooh.
Now I have to kill you. Oh, I was going to do this 30 seconds from now, but now I have to kill you before. By the way, she has a gun. She could shoot them both.
Yeah.
Instead, she chooses to just shoot Gary Sinise.
Because she wants 5 Santas, and she wants one of them in the car.
Is her
fire.
Name Ash? Because, like, at the bottom of a chimney, it's like the dirt and the soot. And
maybe.
Like the,
there you go.
Wow.
Bring it up her chimney
Aaron,
again.
Aaron Kruger's. Well, her pussy is very dirty. Is that where I'm going with this? No? Her
Doug
chimney.
Just said the P word.
Their chimney is very...
And horsey. I love the shock acting, by the way, because he just saw Gary Sinise killed. He saw people...
Look at that face!
He lit Clarence Williams on fire and then, like, did the whole blow into the gun move. But he can't believe that Gary Sinise is gone, because he's all... That was Jesus. And now we have the whistling, the callback
the whistling.
To the... Remember earlier when that guy whistled? Guess what? Here he is, whistling again. And she whistles with him!
On the separate unlistenable commentary track, Aaron Kruger explains that he got this from the third man.
Oh my gosh. This is a horrible reveal.
Oh boy.
This is where the movie, and again, it's not been a good movie up to this point, but here it's where it's like, oh, this is a piece of shit.
You know, we were just talking about how much better it would be if Santa comes out at the end and explains how he played everyone. How about this?
Or at least
we hear
Cornelius.
Whistling. And Mrs. Voorhees comes out and explains that this has been an elaborate plot because the counselors let her son drown
in
snow.
He even says at one point, like, I guess if you hadn't taken the bait, we still would have been fine. But, like, so what was the point of all this? The amount... Easy Virgin Diaries.
Virgin Diaries, wow.
And wouldn't it have been better if...
Hey, guys, get a room.
Hold on a second, Rudy. I need to whisper something into her mouth.
If this had been maybe a more recognizable actor, wouldn't that have been better? Because then maybe we wouldn't have needed the callback to the whistling, or maybe we would have been more surprised because we would have been like, oh, I thought the one star in this movie was really written out of the movie. But yeah. No, they get the unknown James Frayne. Oh, she's not even Ashley at all, by the way. She's Millie Bobek. You remember Millie Bobek from those stories I told you in the first 15 minutes of the movie?
Well, no. The problem is that most people who saw this movie...
Including me.
...slept through the middle hour.
Not me.
So for them to remember Millie Bobek, it would be like remembering a half-remembered dream.
When do we start the apologies for making people sit through this?
What are you talking about? We have made people's Christmases merry and bright.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho! Well, boys, you've got a lot to answer for. If you want any presents, I would like you to personally apologize to every F This Movie listener.
We could have done any number of Christmas-themed movies for our Christmas commentary track. But to me, there was only one.
To me,
it was Reindeer Games. Millie... We needed to see the guy shiv him again, by the way.
Oh, the callback. She's gonna get
a homemade blood capsule, by the way. He made a blood capsule in prison because he's like, Affleck's not gonna buy this unless I'm bleeding from the mouth too. I gotta make this convincing
that he knows it's terminal.
Had to bribe a guard to say I was dead. I mean,
it's very important
that
we know that it's homemade, because if you're capable of bribing a convict and bribing a guard, there's no way you could send away for a real blood capsule. No, Rudy, I swear, it was homemade. You bought it, right?
In the original version, he just said blood capsule, and all the test scorecards said, where did he get a blood capsule in prison?
Well, I think it's interesting.
When they were testing
that ruined Reindeer Games for me.
When they were testing this with test audiences and he just said blood capsule, someone stood up in the theater, excuse me! That would have to be homemade!
I work at the blood capsule factory! I have never been more insulted.
That does not look like my work, thank you.
I represent the blood capsule lobby.
I like that, like, he explains the plan. Like, everything went to plan. I made the blood capsule. I did all this. Everything went perfectly. Sure, Charlize Theron fucked a bunch of guys.
Listen, that was part of the plan, though. And everything, like, literally everything went to plan to get to this exact moment where he could walk out from behind the semi where he was hiding. Like, he had this all planned.
No one's putting...
And now he says, a million things could have gone wrong. You think we didn't know? But we were steering you. We had this. We had it figured out.
We're the puppet masters.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, she's so obsessed with having five dead Santas.
Yeah.
Why does one of them have to be in a car that goes over... This is like a Batman villain.
They put some of the money in the car.
Right.
So it's like no one got away with the money. I guess.
And that would cement this alibi, but
it's
weird.
So they wouldn't be looking for the money for a girl who doesn't exist and a guy who's dead in prison.
Right. Why can't they just shoot Ben Affleck, set the car on fire, and leave?
I don't know why they do so many of the things
do
in Reindeer
Games.
It's
like Batman. We're going to tie you to the pendulum of a huge clock.
But this is Aaron Kruger just thinking like, oh, no one will remember my screenplay unless it's filled with idiotic twists, because... That guy who wrote Usual Suspects, he won an Oscar.
But Usual Suspects is amazing and clever.
And yep. So is Reindeer Games.
He also borrows a line here. He's going to drive the car, so he says, give me the keys, you fucking sucker.
He calls her Sugar Plum. There are so many Christmas references in this movie. This is our new holiday classic.
Good thing he knows how to rob a car. Is that something robbing
cars? He robs a car, yeah. No, it's like, never put a car thief behind the wheel.
I'm going to push this car out nice and slow.
And by the way, we get the beat where, like, he can't quite do it, so he says, it's like riding a bike. Because we're all, how would he still remember how to steal cars?
Don't need this flare anymore!
Okay, here it comes. Everyone listen closely if you have the sound on.
By the way, I would be frightened if I was the guy pushing the car. Like, why'd you light the car? I'm still
inside
the truck.
Never put a car thief behind the wheel.
It's in all of the advertising, and his voice cracks. Never put a car thief behind the wheel.
Uh-oh. That can't be good.
Oh.
This is for the darts.
Very good effect.
Yeah. But here's another great moment, too. All right, so fine. She tries to shoot
the
car.
She's
like, look what you did to Nick.
That's like point blank.
So she slams on the hood, right?
This is where
she... Why does she hold on? Roll off the car. At no point does she try and get off the hood.
She's a great believer in poetic justice.
At no point.
Because at that point, Patrick,
hold on, we're back to the beginning.
Doesn't want to live.
We're back to the beginning. We're like, I thought Ben Affleck was dead in those opening moments, but look at this. Oh, we have to get the...
Also.
Because again, we can't possibly remember this from 6 minutes ago.
To give the film a little credit, when I was first
give it a lot of credit.
This,
no, there's a scene in the pool.
When I was first watching this, I thought he was going to stop the car and put the Santa suit on the cellmate. I really did.
Well, that would be something.
But this leads to this, which we need to talk about, because, okay. Oh, not quite dead yet.
He should have said, is that a homemade blood capsule? This is great, too.
I was inside your girl.
You and me. We're still friends, right?
2 days.
Come on.
2 days. Let's put the money in 2 days.
Nick's
that's
last
not
name
cold
is
acting, by the way. That's
dying acting?
That's dying acting, yeah. That's crushed by a car acting.
This is bittersweet justice.
I was going to kill her anyway. Come on. We're still friends.
This is what money.
You got to take my word for it.
When you saw blood in my mouth before, that was a. This is real blood.
This is real blood. This is what Monty Python used to call diabolical acting. Okay, this is a foregone conclusion. There's something at the very end of this movie, though, we have to talk about, because it's demented.
The crazy ending of this, like, again, the movie is a crazy mix of tones, because sometimes it's this broad comedy, sometimes it's like a sort of an Elmore Leonard black comedy, sometimes it's just a straightforward heist movie, and then it's like, but we want people going out with a smile. And so we have this crazy ending where
it's demented.
He's handing out money.
But that's not, that's...
Him actually, sitting at the table?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't there a scene, too, where he gets back together with Charlize Theron?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
They reunite.
Oh. That exploded.
Now, that, they should have had Nick flying out towards the camera.
He's looking at, like...
Yeah, we see his face.
He's looking at, like, an iPad screen right now, right?
That is, that's explosion acting. That's...
I think he should be acting a little
bit. That's Nick
cold.
Just died again acting.
There they are, the two flaming automobiles.
Yeah, that could have been the little
but
Bon Mo at the end.
But I still have all this money.
It's beginning to look a lot
better ending,
like
by the way.
Christmas.
And the movie ends. Better ending. But we have to be convinced that he's a good guy.
Okay, so, here's where I have problems.
Yeah.
The police...
Wait, here's where?
You. This is what I was about to say.
Looking for five guys in Santa suits.
Who robbed a casino.
And... He's,
they're tribal police.
They
so
might as well put loot on the bag.
Or a dollar sign.
And he doesn't take the Santa Claus suit off, including when he's sitting at the table. And are we to assume, boy, family, do I have a story to tell you.
Well, you know, those tribal police are hopped up on peyote, so I wouldn't worry too much about
they're
it.
They're halfway in the spirit world.
They're talking to coyotes as we speak.
Because the whole movie, they're trying to convince us that Ben Affleck is a good guy who just, you know, stole cars and made a mistake, but he's put that behind him. So now at the end...
They're like, more crystal meth money!
This Robin Hood character who gives away all the money. Because again, the movie's terrible, but had it just ended with him looking at the two giant bags of money, I could draw my own conclusion, and it wouldn't be this one.
I think people hate those kinds of endings. I love those kind of endings where you have to kind of...
Somebody would have been leaving the theater. He should have given all that money away.
Right.
So I didn't like Reindeer Games.
Besides the fact that this film tells...
15 miles to Sydney. He walks for 15
not
miles.
Shows right. A lot.
Sydney and 15, two different fonts. I wouldn't buy it.
And because this movie has the myth of the talking killer, I would also argue that this film makes the mistake of ending and ending and ending and ending.
Sure. Well, just look at all
it's
these dissolves.
The triumvirate of pain.
It's not even like they're stuck. The dissolve switch got stuck halfway
again,
through.
He is
now we're
still
looking at three separate
in the
shots.
Santa suit. He's still in the Santa suit at the dinner table!
Classic Frankenheimer.
But
always got you guessing.
Here's the happy narration. I was never much
and
for the holidays until now. Look at those caps.
Look at that demented
look
face.
Look at the giant
what
caps
are we...
paid for by Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah, I gave
does
all the money
away.
Does he have
one tooth in the middle
this
of his face?
This is Christmas acting right there. That's Christmas
oh
dinner acting.
God.
I want to see him play with the animal cracker on the money's belly and then eat it.
John Frankenheimer, this movie killed you. Aaron Kruger, this movie should have killed you.
Aaron Kruger's going strong.
Produced by Chris Moore of Project Greenlight.
Yes, I recognize that credit.
Oh, yes.
And Marty Katz of Marty Katz's Toupees and Wiggery.
At the end of the movie, we get to see one name on the side of a mailbox.
Okay.
And Jan scanned the credits to
it
see
was
if
Ashton
it
Kutcher's
was
name?
Some sort of inside joke. No, it wasn't Ashton Kutcher's name.
Damn it.
Here are the credits. They're pretty much as exciting as the film. Did I
By
mention
that you mean horribly exciting?
An hour and a half ago, I believe I mentioned I hate this film.
this movie, you should not hate this movie.
I was okay with the movie, and it got really exciting at one point.
I would go so far as to say, F this movie.
Wait, F exclamation point this movie, or F this movie exclamation point? We're nothing if not.
Oh, man, Danny Trejo was on screen so many times, and I forgot to one time say, lowly dog, by your head.
Whoa.
What?
That's a name.
I need to see Tutusis. More movies with Dana Stubblefield.
Tutusis.
Lowly dog, by your head.
The credits are rolling.
We're asleep.
The cattle awake.
If you have listened to this commentary and you've enjoyed it, and you didn't hear it through our website or through DVDVerdictPresents.com, maybe you stumbled upon it through some weird third-party website, or maybe some future Blu-ray of Reindeer Games has included this commentary. You can find our website at fthismoviepodcast.com. I'm kidding. That's our email, fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Our website is fthismovie.blogspot.com. Wait, or you can find us in the iTunes store by searching F This Movie.
Wait, is that Blu-ray thing real?
We're going to be on the Blu-ray, yeah.
That's not going to happen.
What are you talking about?
We're far
too
irreverent.
We watched this movie in standard definition, and I think that's part of why we didn't like it as much as we would have otherwise. There's a lot of detail that...
That's Frankenheimer. It's a Super 35 detail.
Yeah.
There are some websites out there, though.
It needs to be way more P.
They're
like, I would say 1080p's.
There are some websites out there that host commentary tracks that are separate from podcasts and stuff, which are the other
And maybe Ashton Kutcher, College Kid.
Wow.
Yep, look there at it is. That.
And look, Descor, Coke Totosian.
By the way, the joke is on all of you guys because I knew it was Ashton Kutcher. I was playing a character. It's my guy who doesn't know it's Ashton Kutcher character. I'm workshopping him.
I know little Patrick Second City fairly thing I'm doing. Well, and I think
that so. You know that I'm gifted at improv.
And by gifted, you mean?
I mean what?
Now I have a machine gun.
So before Reindeer Games ends, what would you like for Christmas?
A machine gun. Ha, ha. Huh.
JB, what would you like for Christmas?
The last time I asked F This Movie listeners to send me something, it never happened.
All right.
And I'm still crushed and disappointed. But recently there was a box set released of all the Laurel and Hardy movies.
Okay.
You want that? I would really like that.
Everybody
you really
that.
Are asking for something from our audience?
FthismoviePodcast@gmail.com. Just send JB. Send it through the email.
Wait, did you give our Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff too?
Facebook.com/FThisMovie, Twitter.com/FThisMovie.
Follow us, like us.
ReindeerGames.com/FThisMovie. Facebook.com/ReindeerGames.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, boys! I just returned to tell you. I'm going to give you a hint as to your Christmas present.
What is it, Santa? What is it?
For Christmas this year...
Should I sit on your lap first, Santa?
No, we won't be having that again. For Christmas this year, boys, I've decided, I've given this a lot of thought... I'm going to give you a little hint to get you excited for Christmas. For Christmas this year...
Santa's becoming Irish.
Kind of. I noticed that, too.
A little... I got a little...
Hey! I've thought about this long and hard, boys. For Christmas this year, I'm going to give you a sense of conscience and bigger cock.
You had me at sense of cock.
I was going to say you had me at long and hard, but then he went and just said cock, straight up said it.
You had me at Coke Totosian. I'm going to bring that back. Sorry.
Reindeer Games, my favorite Christmas movie of all time. Suck on that.
You're every nuts. That is Christmas so not movie. Even true.
What are you talking about? Name a better Christmas movie.
Die Hard. You love Die Hard more all than right, Reindeer
no,
Games.
That, okay, that's better. But
Die Hard
2. No, okay. How about a third, though?
Yeah, I'm all out of it.
Okay, Reindeer
Games. Take it all the way!
Number 3.
In conclusion, I would just like to add that I have no gift to bring.
Minky Billups! Minky Billups was the digital artist.
Oh, dear.
Patrick Lussier, by the way, has become a successful director. He just directed Drive Angry.
Spend Love.
I'm just saying.
Successful. Define successful.
He directed My Bloody Valentine 3D.
I know. Drive Angry has a good scene. The girl from NYPD Blue, I believe, Dracula was in 2000. Drive Angry. And she's... Eddie Bauer.
Here's all the people we have to thank. John Oliver High School, where the...
the Daily Show correspondence.
Vancouver, we were right. So there we go.
Oh, there's the clip,
here's all
JB.
The Christmas music that was licensed for the movie. Oh, a better Christmas movie... Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Yeah. Better Christmas movie, Phantom Menace.
It's all right.
It was a gift to me, I believe.
there's a piece of score called Rainier Games.
Yeah, that's Alan Silvestri.
So that's kick-ass. Thank you guys very much for listening. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We're sorry?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry.
Now I have to go to confession.
It just ends and ends and
ends. Just like the movie.
Just like the movie.